Continuing verse by verse through the book of John with the overarching theme of the preeminence of Christ.
I hope it's been a blessing to you. I hope that you maybe have adjusted some priorities in your life to give Jesus Christ first place, which he so rightly deserves. Amen. That's not unreasonable to ask that he would have the first place in our life. And the Bible talks about giving our lives a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service in Romans chapter 12. And so I hope that Jesus is number one in your life. I hope he's got the top place. Hope he's the king of your heart. Amen. The Bible says that he might have the preeminence over in Colossians 1:18. That means that we have to choose to give him that place. And if you do, you'll never be sorry that you did. Come on, really? I said, if you do, you'll never be sorry that you did. Y'all want to walk to the radio tower now? That'll wake you up. I tell you guys, we are so blessed to have a Savior like we do. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve His love. We don't deserve His kindness. We don't deserve the mercies that are new every morning. We don't deserve His compassions that fail not. We don't deserve His great faithfulness. We don't deserve the benefits that He renders unto us and loads us with every single day. We are just spoiled rotten. And everybody that got spoiled rotten in the Bible by God, unfortunately, turned their back on Him. God help us not to be that people. Jesus Christ said that, you know, before He comes back, He said there'd be a falling away first. I think we're seeing it. I had my message of casual Christianity teed up, and I pulled it off this morning. I didn't think God wanted us to preach it this morning, but it's coming one day. Casual Christianity. Just, I'll fit God in when I can. You know, he deserves more than that. He deserves more than just, I'll give Him what I feel like giving Him. Man. Well, that's a great start to this message. So here we go. John chapter 8 this morning, verse 12. The Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And really, we could stop right there and preach on that verse in regards to God's word and how the Bible says in Psalm 119, 140, we'll look at it tonight, that, and actually this morning, that the entrance of His words giveth light. And we could talk about Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate in the flesh, and how He is the light, and the Word of God's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and how it ought to guide and direct our lives. But Lord's got something different on the plate this morning, but that's a good verse. That's good preaching. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. This morning, just it's kind of a repetitive message, but it's what characterizes this passage of Scripture. And that very simply is, God has asked us to believe, not necessarily to understand. God has asked us to trust him, not necessarily to have a perfect understanding of everything that he said to us. God has asked us to exercise faith in his word and walk by faith, not by sight. And we're going to get this tonight as we start the King James study. But guys, listen, if we understood everything about this Bible, we would be walking by sight, not by faith. And so there's some things that the Lord's told us to do. There's some things about Jesus Christ. There's some things about the Godhead and the Trinity that just to our finite minds doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. It's kind of hard to understand. Excuse me, but God didn't say, I want you to understand it. He said, I want you to believe it. And so this morning, let's get some more prayer in here one more time before we get started. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the time you've given us to be in church today. Lord, thank you for these folks that made the effort to come out. Lord, I pray there'd be some excitement in this place, Lord, about your word. God, I pray that there would be some interest, Lord, and some yearning and longing in hearts to hear what you have for us today. And Lord, that we would receive these words not as the words of a man, but as they are in truth the words of God. Lord, that it would effectually work in us which believe. Lord, we know that's the key to living the Christian life. That's the key to reading your word and obeying your word. Lord, we just need to believe. Lord, have faith in you and have faith in your word. And I pray you'd help us this morning to be that way. And God, we sure love you. Thank you for being so kind to us. Thank you for saving our souls and sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, I'm thankful for every person that's made the choice to trust you as their Savior. And Lord, if there's one here this morning, either downstairs or here in this congregation that are not born again, I pray today would be their glad hour of salvation before it's everlasting too late. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, unfortunately, much of the narrative in the book of John, as we've already seen, deals with the Jews questioning who Jesus is. And not only that, but they question the authority by which he speaks. And we'll look at this in depth tonight. But the bottom line is this. God has not asked us to fully understand his word. He's asked us to believe his word. And as these Jews would ask Jesus Christ, as they just asked right there in verse 25, who art thou? And he plainly tells them, I am the one that I told you I was from the beginning. And it's like it's just like it goes in one ear and out the other. And it doesn't make an impact on them. And they ask him, where's your authority? And he asks them, will you tell me where your authority is from? And I'll tell you what my authority is. And they say, well, we're not going to tell you our authority. He said, well, I'm not going to tell you my authority. And it's not necessarily a game, but it's this maddening dialogue all the way through the book of John with these people. They ask Jesus questions, and he answers their question, and it doesn't help them at all, and they don't accept the answer that he gives them. And they ask him another question, and he answers their question, and it doesn't help them at all. They stay confused, and they stay just confounded, and God's not the author of confusion. We're going to see that tonight. But Jesus Christ gave them truth. Every time he answered them, he gave them truth, and they did not want truth. Now, how about us this morning? God has given us 66 books of his perfect, inspired, inerrant, infallible truth. How much do you want it? How much do I want it? And as Jesus Christ is dealing with these men after he has dealt with the situation of the woman caught in adultery in the very act, as we looked at last week, now he's got the same crowd around him again, and they're asking him questions, and they're accusing him, and they're not believing, they're trying to understand. You know, the bottom line in our lives is this. You and I, we're going to either believe God, or we're going to question God. And when the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, mine and your heart attitude is either going to be, yes, Lord, I count that as truth, and I accept that truth, or it's going to be, well, I heard, or, well, that other preacher says, or my mom and dad say, whatever it is. But you know, when we start questioning God, as Satan did in Genesis chapter 3, yea, hath God said, we begin questioning God. You know what we do? We try to transfer the authority away from God's word to somebody else, even if it's our own selves. You know, a lot of people would make the claim, you know, bless God, I'm not under any authority. Well, no, you are under authority, even if it's your own wicked self. We're under an authority. We care what other people think. We care what other people say. We ought to care what God says. We ought to care what God thinks more than anybody else and more than anything else. The Jews questioned the authority of Jesus Christ. They didn't believe him. The Jews questioned Jesus' power. They didn't believe him. But you know, over there, and just back there in a few verses in chapter 8, verse 11, remember this last week, at the end of the message, Jesus asked that woman, verse 10, where are thy accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And he said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know what? That woman believed. And your Bible tells you in John chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth is not. In John chapter 5, 24, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into, but is passed from death to life. How do you get out from underneath the condemnation of sin, out from underneath the condemnation of your life going to hell if you die in your sins? We're going to talk about here in a minute. How do you get out from underneath that penalty? How do you get out from underneath that perjury? How do you get out from underneath that terrible position? You got to believe what God said. And there's no condemnation. Well, I just think you're still condemned. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. But do you believe that? Well, I just think there's other ways to get to heaven. You're still condemned. Right? You know, Nicodemus, I believe Nicodemus got born again. As you look back there in chapter 7, and we're not going to turn and look at it, but you know, he started sticking up for Jesus a little bit. You know what ought to be a real trait of a born-again Christian? You ought to stand up for your Savior. I ought to stand up for my Savior the way we ought to. Somebody starts degrading your Savior and starts talking about questioning him and talking about the Word of God and questioning the Word of God, you ought to stand up for that. Nicodemus, I believe he got born again. You know what? I don't think Nicodemus really understood it all. We know he didn't, because he looked at Jesus and he said, how can a man who's old enter into the womb and be born a second time? And Jesus said, how are you a master of Israel? No, not these things. It was obvious he didn't understand, but I believe he believed. Not only because of what happened in John chapter 7, but remember over there when Joseph has taken down the body of Christ off the cross, remember who's with him? Nicodemus is there. I believe the old boy got in. But you know what? After this dialogue with the Pharisees, and after the dialogue with the harlot here in chapter 8, the adulterous woman, Jesus Christ spends verse 12 through verse 30 at least, and even on more through the rest of the chapter, declaring who he is multiple times over and over and over again. And they just don't get it because they can't understand. And they're trying to get it wrapped around their brain. And he's basically telling them, don't try to understand it. Just believe it. He said there in verse 12, we've already read that a little bit. It says, I am the light of the world. It says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Psalm 109, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path. And verse 130 of Psalm 119 says that the word, let's look over there. Interest of the words gives light. Look over there. Psalm 119. By the way, Psalm 119 is a great chapter about the Word of God. Don't want to misquote this. Psalm 119, look at 130. I tell you what, let's read verse 29. You ask yourself if this is you this morning. 119, 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. You agree with that? God's testimony is wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. We'll see how wonderful they are by how you live, how I live. The entrance of thy words giveth light. You know, light so many times in the Bible is likened unto understanding and spiritual sight. It giveth understanding to the simple. 31, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy, what's it say? Boy, that's not today's generation, is it? I don't want God's commandments, I want my commandments. Don't tell me how to live my life, I'll be my own authority. How can you be such a Christian, call yourself a Christian, when you're so judgmental and mean? That's what we're dealing with today out there in society, folks. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy what? You know, I think it frustrates folks sometimes. They'll come to me and ask me a question. What should I do in my life here or there? If you quote them a Bible verse, they don't really want to hear that. They just want to hear what you think about it. And a lot of times they'll come and they'll say, what do you think about this? And they're just looking for you to say, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Go for it. And if you give them what God's word says, and heaven forbid it even goes against what they want to hear, whoo. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? It says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Help us, God. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precept. This is all talking about God's word. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Hey church, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you shed a tear over somebody in this community because they're lost and on their way to hell? When's the last time you looked around and missed someone in church and it grieved your heart so heavily that you shed a tear because somebody's not keeping God's law like they're supposed to? I tell you what, man, being a pastor is the greatest thing on the face of this earth. But it's also one of the most heartbreaking professions you can have. It's one of the most heartbreaking callings you could be in. Because I'll get up here some Sunday mornings and look around and somebody's not here. And it doesn't bring joy to my heart. It grieves my heart. And it's not because I want somebody here so that I can feel good because they came to hear me preach. That's not it at all. I know what God's word can do in your life. And I want you to be here so you can hear the words of God. And the entrance of his words can give you light and guide and direct and help and edify and encourage your spiritual life. It's not for me. It's for you. But there's been plenty of rivers of water run down my face. You think, Lord, where are they? Lord, what are they doing? Hebrews 11, verse 3 says that by faith we understand. You know, the way God works is he looks at us and he says, I don't want you to necessarily understand my word. I want you to believe my word. But here's the crazy thing. Once you start believing God's word, he helps you understand it. And so instead of striving for the understanding, we need to strive to believe what God said in his word, and then you're going to get some understanding, amen? You're going to get some light. You're going to get some wisdom imparted to you. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you into all truth. If you're born again, he's going to help you. But you've got to believe that is the infallible, perfect, inerrant word of God. And it is. But you've got to believe that. I've got to believe that. If there's any doubt whatsoever, God won't bless it. Well, look at verse 13. The Bible says, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. You realize your King James Bible, I believe, is the only Bible in the world that has 1 John 5:7 as the Trinity in it. That verse says there are three that bear record. You know what they're calling into question right here? They said, you're bearing record of yourself. I'm afraid at the great white throne judgment, there's going to be a whole lot of people try to question God's record. It's not going to work out very well. I wonder what kind of record you've got in heaven this morning. Is your name written in the book of life? Hope so. It says, the Pharisee therefore said to him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. So, you know, that brings out an issue in society today. Man's words versus God's words. I wonder, who do you and I trust more? Fox News or Psalms? Which do we put more weight in? CNN news break or Jeremiah? These guys said, you're not true. Jesus said, I am true. All right, so who's true? Well, let God be and every man a. You better sit on that your whole life. God is true. He's always true. His words are true. He's perfect and right and holy. And all of us are not. Well, I just think. Doesn't matter what you think. Well, I just feel. Doesn't matter what we feel. Well, I just wish, I wish a lot of things too, but forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He said, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. He said, you judge after the flesh, I judge no man. He doesn't have to judge them, they're already judged, they're condemned. 16, yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself. That's an interesting phrase in your Bible. I bet most Bible correctors would try to correct that, and they would say, you know, that's an unfortunate rendering in the King James Bible. By the way, you hear anybody say that, just turn them off. But anyway, they would say, you know, that's an unfortunate rendering because that's not proper grammar. Right? Because if you read that, look what it says. He said, I am one that bear witness of myself. And you and I have always been taught in our English classes that bear should be bears. For I am one that bears witness of myself, right? But you remember, Jesus Christ is the I am that I am. And when he says, I am, what's he say? One. One and three and three and one. And see, if he had said, I am they that bear witness, that grammatically fits. But with the Trinity, God's three in one, he's one in three. There's nothing wrong with the way that's written. That's written correctly. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. And so Jesus Christ here, is his word, his record, his authority are questioned, and he gives them a straight answer. And he tells them exactly who he is, and they don't care. Verse 19. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? You know, you can always tell if somebody's sincere asking questions about God's word, because if you give them a biblical answer, that'll satisfy them. But if they don't really want a biblical answer, we're going to try to find another way to argue about it. We're going to try to find another angle to try to trip up the Bible believer. We're going to try to ask another question that pokes at this thing over here and ignores all the truth that was just given to them. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Oh, what a rebuke. 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. What a terrible way to die. Bible talks about over in Romans chapter 7. I don't have a whole lot of time to develop all this, but Romans chapter 7 talks about, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And we talk about, you know, you may use the word age of accountability, whatever it is, but you and I, everybody on the face of this earth, dies spiritually the moment that they commit willful sin. And whatever age that is, it's different for everybody in this world. But the moment they know that is wrong, I am not supposed to do that according to God's word, according to the law of God that's written in my heart and in my conscience. When I offend that law that I know is right, die spiritually. And the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And so if you're here this morning and you're not born again, you are dead in your trespasses and sins according to God. He doesn't know who you are. But the moment that you repent of your sins and you believe, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are born again. The Holy Ghost of God takes up residence in your heart. You are made alive spiritually. You are quickened, Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1. You are quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, and you're made alive to God. And boy, He knows your name. But Jesus here, He tells them, He says, I'm going to go my way. He says, you're going to look after me. He said, you're going to die in your sins. He said, well, that doesn't sound fair. We'll come over to... Come on over here to verse 24. He said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if ye, what's it say? Believe not. You know, that is the qualification for every person as to whether they will spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. Believe or believe not. The only sin that cannot be forgiven is the sin of unbelief. And if you go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, let's go over there. Let's go to Mark 16. Y'all need to turn, wake you up, amen. I want you to see God's qualification for a man going to heaven or going to hell. You know why I like the Bible so much? Because it's our authority. And it's perfect truth. And we don't preach anything of ourselves that's new and fresh. And this isn't Pastor Brownology up here. This is the Bible. It gives us a basis to stand on. Look at Mark 16. Verse 15, we know the verse. He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This is a favorite verse of the Church of Christ, trying to make you get water baptized before you're saved. That verse says nothing about water baptism. It could be Holy Ghost baptism. And I think it is. Anyway, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. All right, class, somebody tell me, what is the qualification to be damned? Believe not. It says nothing about baptism. Jesus said over here in John chapter 8, you're going to die in your sins because you haven't believed in me. Same is true today, 2017. The only reason a man will die and go to hell is if he has not believed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Well, let's see here. Let's look at verse 25, John 8. John 8, 25. The Bible says this. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said to them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. In other words, he says, I've told you time and time again who I am, and you refuse to believe it. I have many things, he says, to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. He says at the end of verse 26, he says, I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. We've got 66 books in your lap composed in one Bible that is the inspired, preserved Word of God. I wonder how much are we speaking to the world those things which we've been given of God. That's what he's asked us to do. The job of an ambassador is to take the message from their home country to a foreign country representing that home country and deliver that message. And whatever the results are, that is out of that ambassador's hands. He is just, or she is just, to be a faithful messenger. And church, that is you and I today. We are to take the things from our heavenly country that's been given to us in this King James Bible. We're to be taking it outside those doors and proclaiming it as a faithful ambassador to a lost and dying world. And once we have faithfully proclaimed the message, it's off our hands. So how faithful are we being with the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation we've been given? We have the perfect, pure, undefiled, inerrant word of God in our laps this morning. I hope you read it each week. I hope you study it each week. You listen to it preached at least 3 times a week. What are we doing in terms of fulfilling the commission that God's given us to do, to take these pure, perfect, inerrant words and giving them to a lost and dying world? In other words, what good does it do you to have a King James Bible if you're not living by it and telling somebody else about it? To whom much is given, much is. And this church is going to have a whole lot required of it one day. 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. There it is again. That's why Jesus Christ is the capital W word. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him, including saying the things that God wanted him to say. You know, he tells them here in these verses, essentially he's telling them, one day you're going to understand. You know, as he hung on the cross, that centurion stood there and watched what went on and heard what he said. And you remember what that centurion confessed? Truly, this man is the Son of God. Every one of us right now have a chance to proclaim that and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Today, you've got that chance. But as the man said yesterday, that was preaching, the second preacher yesterday, he said this. He said, you better make things right with God on this side of eternity. Because once you pass through that veil to the other side of eternity, you can't change your destination. And you know, one day there's going to be a day, Philippians chapter 2 says, that every knee is going to bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I just think it would be really smart and wise to start doing that now. Amen. And then look at verse 30. Well, sorry, the end of verse 29, he says, for I do always those things that please him. And I'll just remind us very simply, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them which diligently seek him. And then verse 30 says, as he spake these words, many believed. And we're reminded of the simple verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by, and hearing by the... It's really simple, isn't it? I'm glad God made it simple. I'm glad God made it to where one of these children downstairs can believe on the word and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And by the way, we might as well end with that verse in Acts 16:31. The Philippian jailer asks, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Isn't it interesting that Paul's answer did not include water baptism? Isn't it interesting that Paul's response does not include keeping the catechisms of the Catholic Church? Isn't it interesting that Paul's response didn't include, well, you know, nobody can really know who's saved and who's not saved. It's just kind of up to God. You just got to do the best you can, and one day, you know, he'll make the decision when we all raise up from the dead. I'm really glad God said, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And this life is in his Son. But you know what? I just left something out. I left out the most important part. These things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know. Something like that. Let's turn over. 1 John 5. There's belief in there somewhere. 1 John 5. Verse 11, 1 John 5:11, the Bible says, "This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You know, God's Word is really definitive, isn't it? There's no questions. You're going to see the difference in these other Bible versions tonight. They leave it wide open to question and to private interpretation. The Bible says no Scripture is of any private interpretation. 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." You know why God gave you a Bible? You know why God gave you His perfect Word preserved unto this generation? So you can believe Him. And so you can obey Him. And so that you and I can live a life that's pleasing in His sight. He did not give us His perfect, inerrant, inspired Word preserved to this generation so it could be a paperweight and sit on the desk and make us look righteous. He gave it to us so that we can read it and believe it and do it. And 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says that you receive that Word as it is in truth, the Word of God, and it closes the verse, it says, "which effectually worketh in you." How effectual is that Bible in your life today? How effectual is the Bible in my life today? How much do we love it? How much do we live it? James warned us in chapter 1 that when we come, we sit down and we hear the Word of God, that we not think ourselves righteous, because just hearing does not make us righteous, but believing makes us righteous. And in the same book, your faith ought to produce some action. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we love You.